Here, let me check your status.
Rafa took the rifle, did something Bubbles couldn't follow in the dimness, and handed it back.
Full clip, round in the chamber. When you pull that trigger, you'll shoot something.
Let's go, then.
Bubbles angled left toward the shore. As she remembered, the big tree had been only a couple of hundred meters from the water. She noticed, after a few minutes, that the blinking lights on the comm units had died. It gave her no comfort. A missed signal would rouse them to search, she was sure. At least they had thick cover to the very edge of the beach. As they neared the water, the night goggles had more light to work with and brightened once more. At the same time, the undergrowth increased, as it always had near the forest edge, though it was not so thick that they needed to go out of their way. By the time Bubbles peered through the last screen of bushes and vines, she could see up and down the narrow beach at least 100 meters in each direction. She saw no one, although someone could have been hidden in the undergrowth, as they were. A gentle swell out to sea produced small lapping waves that slipped up and back like the strokes of a massage, rolling the little pebbles that made up the beach here.
How deep is it? Any chance the things will be too deep for them to find?
It's a steep drop-off. We used to beach the sailboats on this side of the island sometimes. Give me that one.
Rafa handed over the comm unit, and Bubbles took another look up and down the beach. Nothing. She shrugged out of her knapsack and left it with Rafa, then moved slowly out of the cover, expecting any moment to hear another shot. She thought of wading in a little way, but remembered the times she'd slipped and fallen here. She didn't need to be sopping wet, not on top of everything else. She felt like an idiot as she cocked her arm and threw the first comm unit as far into the sea as she could. It wasn't, she thought, all that far. She found the two uphill steps back to the tree line almost impossible. But the impossible, she was discovering, didn't even take longer. It was just harder.
Nah!
A little farther, and it's your turn to rest. Just get back from the edge.
But they actually walked another half hour, by Rafa's watch, before finding another place, Bubbles remembered, where a rib of the central ridge ran all the way to the water. From there, around the northern end, the island had no beach, but a vertical wall of stone. When they lay down, this time neither could stand, Bubbles fell asleep at once. She had expected to have frightening dreams, but she woke with no memory of them. When she opened her eyes, she could see Rafa curled into a tidy ball, cat-like. Her rifle lay across her sleeping hand. Bubbles yawned, stretched, and rubbed the hip bone that had been on the bottom. Her back never hurt after sleeping on the ground, but a hip bone always complained. She had tried all the tricks she'd read about back in her camping days, and none of them worked. She sat up. Rafa opened one eye.
Don't tell me it's morning.
Oh, it's morning.
Unless they'd slept all day, and she didn't feel that rested. Besides, the light was brighter. The leaves overhead began to look green, not black. She stretched again, arching her back, then rolled to her feet. Nothing stirred but the leaves overhead, as the dawn breeze strengthened. Her shoulders were stiff and sore from the pack straps.
I hate morning.
Then her eyes came open all the way, and she sat up.
It's real.
What?
Bubbles knew what, but she wasn't sure she believed it yet. Rafa was staring at her own hands.
Us. Here. Last night. Blood.
Bubbles had already seen the disgusting mess on her own hands, and she'd eaten something held in them.
Oh, yes, I guess we should have washed off when we got to the beach.
Her slacks were filthy too, and she could smell her own sour smell. Rafa looked as bad, her dark hair in lank, dirty strings and the knees of her slacks black with dried blood and dirt.
They won't have to see us. They could track us by smell, without dogs.
Then we'll get clean.
Bubbles had no idea how they would get clean. They certainly could not light a fire and boil a pot of water for washing. For that matter, she needed to think where the nearest drinking water might be. She picked up her knapsack and got it on, wincing as her shoulders complained.
Oh. Oh, come on. It won't help us to sit here and wish.
Rafa stood, shook herself, brushed at the stains, and finally picked up her knapsack and weapons.
I know, I know. What's the boys' regimental motto? Onward to glory or something equally unreasonable?
She got the knapsack onto one shoulder.
Ugh! This thing weighs twice what it did yesterday. And don't scold me. I'm getting my complaints out of the way all at once, early, before they can bother you. You notice I didn't complain last night.
Right. You complain in the morning, and I'll complain at midnight or whenever it was I went bonkers. And between us, that will cover the whole day.
And leave us time to survive, evade the hunters, kill them all, and save everyone. Tally-ho!
Rafa started off, then looked back.
By the way, where are we going now?
Water, I thought. Water first, then some place to hide.
Oh, like last time. A hiding place convenient to a trail so that we can get weapons and supplies from dead hunters.
For all the banter, they went warily enough once they started. Without talking about it, they began to move apart, so they could just see each other and take alternate pauses for listening and looking backwards. Nothing disturbed them but the silence, which the wind in the leaves overhead seemed to emphasize. The sky lightened. Bubbles knew that it was now full day, though they were walking in the shadow of the ridge. The slope began to fall away under their feet, and Bubbles turned right, inland. She remembered that there was another, smaller stream in a ravine between the last hill on the main ridge and the outlier hill at the north end of the island. It rose from a spring on the ridge, and over the years the children had made a series of wading and splashing pools along its path to the sea. Between them, the stream was no more than ankle deep except after a rainstorm, but they might find enough water in one of the pools to wash their clothes. Even if all the dams had fallen apart since the last campers, there should be enough loose, handy stones to let them build one up again. It wouldn't take long. When she finally saw water, it was one of the larger pools. Someone had repaired the dam. She assumed it was the prisoners, and raised it enough so that the pool looked to be waist deep. Its surface was littered with fallen leaves and twigs. She started toward it, then waved Rafa back to cover. It looked safe and deserted, but she noticed something glinting at the upper end of the pool. Warily, she worked her way toward it, trying to keep to thicker growth. A foil packet with one end torn off, that's all, discarded by some careless hunter. It could have held rations, candy, a damp wipe to clean with. She relaxed, then saw the first dead amphib turning slowly in the pool, its legs extended. Another lay by the stream. With a growing sense of horror, she realized that the floating leaves were in fact a mass of dead amphibs, insects, and fish. She backed away, her hands to her mouth.
What? Poison! They've poisoned the stream!
And if this stream, then all the streams. And if the streams, probably the springs as well. This was her place, her childhood, and she had spent hours lying belly down beside one stream or another, watching the brilliant red and gold amphibs, the speckled fish, the brilliant blue and green butterflies that came to drink.
I can't even find words bad enough.
She had used all the bad words she knew for common things like escorts who got drunk and threw up on her, or girlfriends who told someone else her secrets. She hadn't known there was something worse to save curses for.
How could they?
It would be hard to hide in an autopsy.
Bubbles almost hated Rafa at that moment. Of course, it wasn't her island. She had never seen it as Bubbles remembered it.
What I mean is, it's probably meant to put us to sleep or something. The other things are accidents.
That's what's worst. They have a reason to kill us. A bad one, but a reason. To kill all these. Just by accident? A sort of a byproduct?
We shouldn't stay here. They'd check this pretty often, I'd guess.
Right. Upstream, then.
They might have someone stationed upstream, too, but she had to know if they'd poisoned at all. She had to. She wondered when they'd done it. The day before, dropping packets from the flitter? Landing at each small stream? Or had someone been walking the forest that night? Someone who might have walked past them as they slept, not seeing them. She shivered. It would do no good to think of that. As she walked, what Rafa said began to make sense. The same things had different effects on humans and animals, she knew that. A drug to make them sleepy might have killed the amphibs by accident, or didn't the fish need to swim for their gills to work? So if they drowsed and didn't swim, they'd die just from that. But she was still angry. She felt decades older than the day before, than even the night before. Upstream, as anywhere, grew steeper and narrower. They came to another pool, with its scum of dead amphibs and fish. She had seen nothing alive along the banks of the rivulet. Beyond that, the stream forked. To the left, poisoned water gurgled pleasantly in its narrow bed. To the right was the waist-high ledge that formed a miniature waterfall in the wet season. A damp patch of mud in the hollow above it was the only sign that a creek had ever flowed there.